Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Upfront. I'm Chloe Morgan, and today I'm joined by one of the biggest names in women's football. After more than three decades in English football, Marianne Spacey-Kell has seen it all. As a player, she was capped over 90 times for England and enjoyed a trophy-laden spell with Arsenal throughout the 90s. After managing Fulham Ladies and working extensively in the England setup, including as assistant coach to Mark Sampson at the 2015 World Cup, Spacey left the FA in 2018 to join a new project, Southampton's reformed women's team. Starting all the way down in the fifth tier, she has helped build the club from the ground up. And now Southampton are looked at as an example of what can be achieved with a proper infrastructure. All that has paid off. Southampton are now in the hunt for WSL promotion from the Championship this season. And they have the dream fixture in the FA Cup this Sunday, where they will face Manchester United. I sat down with Marianne to talk about Southampton's journey, the state of recruitment in women's football, and so much more. Welcome to Upfront, Marianne. Not too long ago, I was down at the training ground, sort of, you know, sussing out what was going on down there, looking at all the facilities, speaking to a couple of players as well, and yourself, ahead of the Conti Cup clash with Arsenal back in November. Arsenal walked away just about with a 2-1 win, but only after the stoppage time winner. We talked a little bit about the sort of the lead up to the game and how you're preparing for it, but you know, afterwards now, how much confidence do you and the players kind of take away from, you know, keeping a side like Arsenal, you know, right to the dying minutes of the game?
Yeah, I think you have to take confidence from performances like that. You have to prepare in a way that it's a one-off cup game and not get too focused on the cup game, because our focus is still very much away from that and in the league. So one thing we said about the Arsenal game was it's an opportunity to enjoy playing and showcasing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think we did that really well in that game. So I think the prep and everything will be the same for the game on Sunday. And that is, you know, we've got a great opportunity to try things out. We've got a great opportunity to, you know, compete and challenge ourselves against a top club in the WSL. But also it's an opportunity to just enjoy the game, enjoy it, because mm-hmm. it's a different pressure to what you play week in, week out in the league.
And what are sort of some of the key improvements, I suppose, you've seen in, you know, your side taking on some of these big WSL title contenders? What's the things you've been most impressed with the squad?
Well, I think, you know, you look at, if you go for the Arsenal game and you go the fact that we competed, we scored a great goal, and, you know, we had the ball for probably longer periods than we thought, and we used it well. But we also defended really well. And that's something that you need. Mm-hmm. You need to, you know, the best best case scenario is you keep a clean sheet through strong defensive actions. And I think we did that. We obviously didn't keep a clean sheet, but we defended really well against Arsenal. And then in the Spurs game, we had 16-year-old and a 17-year-old come on in the second half of that game to showcase what our pathway is about and what we want to, you know, we want to bring players through. So again, it's having then different games for different things that you want to use it for, in that, certainly in the Conti Cup. And now the FA Cup is how we bring in, you know, some of those things together. But also, you know, I keep reiterating and keep saying it's, you have to use the game for our purposes as well as we want to win. Mm-hmm. We do, you know, obviously the girls want to win. They want to get into the next round of the FA Cup. But it's for, we're concentrating on the things that we want to get out of the game. And we're respectful of Man United because they are a top team. But really it's about what we can focus on for us to give us a real good, you know, maybe start a bit more momentum going into the next few league games.
Southampton's pathway has been sort of fairly similar in a way to Man United's. I mean, both clubs scrapped their women's teams back in 2005 and then restarted them back in the 2018-19 season. But Man United was sort of granted that licence to go straight into the Championship, and Southampton had to, you know, start life in the fifth tier, and they appointed you not too long after. When you look sort of back at that first season, what's the kind of standout memory that you can kind of share with us that illustrates just how far you've come as a club?
Like, the great thing that it gave us was the opportunity to play younger players. So the likes mm-hmm. of Lucia Kendall, Kayla Rendall, Ella Morris, you know, to name a few, Sophia Farrow. If we'd have got into the Championship straight away, we wouldn't have been able to give them that senior football experience. So for me, that mm-hmm. first, you know, the development of the club from where we were to where we are is pivotal, with the growth of young players getting playing opportunities and getting opportunities to play in women's football at a young age, and how they've mm-hmm. developed. So, you know, I think that's been a key part of our success, is being able to keep hold of our homegrown talent and play them. And now they're playing in the Championship with real match experience, not just age group match experience.
And are there any kind of personal anecdotes that you have about sort of where the club has come from to where you are? I mean, I know sort of my, you know, I was with Spurs for 5 or 6 years, and, you know, there are games that I'm taken back to when, you know, we'd travel on a minibus with a couple of sandwiches, and then we sort of, and then there was a moment that we stepped out into the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium to play Arsenal for the first game in front of 38,000 fans. You think, how did I get here? Do you ever sort of have those kind of moments where you look back and reflect on, you know, things that happened and where you are now?
Yeah, I guess I think, you know, it's been quite fast moving, and you should always reflect. But I think, you know, the first game we played at St Mary's in the FA Cup against Coventry, as they were then. So, you know, they're moments that you just remember, the excitement of the players playing at St Mary's. And now, mm-hmm. kind of like 3-4 years later, we play our home games there. So that journey of integration within the club and being, you know, so integral to the growth of the club, not just the women's program. I think there's, you know, the kind of, when you look back at some of the pitches that you played on, but the camaraderie that you know, that grew together for the players, that's always something that's held us tight as a group. Is, you know, you go into pitches that were thick with muck because it was the only pitch that the opposition could actually get on that day, and you scrap a win. So all the lessons you learn from that is, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, adversity in football, it's the character building adversity that you want the players to, you know, and coaches, and us as coaches, to reflect on and go, if we hadn't done that, we may not be where we are now. So, you know, I think little things like that, you know, big moments of playing your first game at the stadium when we had always dreamt that we would play at St Mary's in a big game, which it was. Playing there when we won the Southern Premier League, and we played Portsmouth there and won that at St Mary's in front of a fantastic crowd. So you just kind of put all those, what people might think is insignificant, of, mm-hmm. you know, everybody driving to a game, now everybody's on the coach. That growth has been, you know, sharp and fast. But I think we've done it in a way that has allowed us to grow with the game and not just grow us outside of the game.
What's been a personal highlight for you in those years? What was the kind of moment that you thought, you know, I'm going to have a nice glass of red when I sit down this evening? It's a job well done for me today.
There's probably been quite a few, actually. I think, you know, not just sort of us, but moments where you're seeing our young players get international recognition and you think they work hard to do that and now they're getting international recognition. You know, we can sometimes put the pitch at front and centre, but there's lots of real nice moments that happen, like I said, with players and with staff and, you know, things that you achieve together that aren't necessarily just on the pitch. So when, you know, you go out and you have a day out where the you know, you're playing, doing things like The Apprentice and everyone's just really engaged in it. And I think the most important thing for us is, like I said, is to reflect on what we've done and how much we've done as in the time that we have. But we're not satisfied and we want to keep pushing and we want to keep like aspiring to get to the highest levels that we can.
I mean, I can't brush over this. Did you say that the Southampton squad had been on an apprentice day trip?
Well, to be fair, it was Loz and Laura, the two of the staff members, planned a day for the girls to just be I can't remember the actual details because I wasn't there. So it's just they had different tasks that they had to achieve and get back to a certain spot, a certain place by a certain time, having achieved everything. So, you know, things like that. And the other one we did was like an activity, adventure activity, where they were jumping off of a small tower and just seeing the girls really, like some of them were terrified to do it, but they did it because there was support behind them and everybody was cheering and willing them on. And they're small little things, but, you know, it just shows the camaraderie that we got within the squad.
And did you lead by example at all by throwing yourself off of some of these heights or were you sort of watching waving from the ground?
I was the bag lady. I looked after the bags and was the loudest cheerer.
When you first started at the club, you sort of described it as being a blank piece of paper when you first, you know, walked through the doors. You know, with a project like that, you know, having those ambitions to kind of get into the Championship and, you know, further into the future to get into the WSL at some point, I mean, where do you start when I suppose you still have to look at things like the staff and the players you bring in, the facilities, the, you know, the infrastructure? I mean, it's such a sort of big job on your hands. I mean, what were the sort of priorities for you when you first came in?
I think the like I said, the staff was really important. Already with Martina here, the general manager, she was pivotal in the building of the whole project as well. And then making sure that we had the right staff in place that then attracted players, that then attracted you know, that then we were coachable, that we could get the results on the pitch, that then the results on the pitch meant that we were then attracting more sponsorship and more kind of media coverage. And so it was just building those blocks. So year on year, having a real pillar of what we wanted to achieve. So our five-year strategy based on that year's strategy to get to where we are at the moment. So having those real pillars of what does it look like on the pitch, what does it look like from a sports science and medicine perspective, what does it look like from like a commercial perspective, what does it look like from player care and welfare. So having those pillars and everyone being accountable for that pillar, but all working together to achieve the overall strategy.
And people looking at Southampton will know it's a club that's got sort of huge emphasis on bringing through young players and local talent. It's something you've obviously spoken about a little bit with us today. Why was that so important for you from the start? What is it about sort of that being one of the sort of biggest focuses for you?
I think Hampshire has always been a real hotbed of women's football talent. You look at the days gone by and Southampton, when, you know, had a successful team. So we wanted to ensure that the football talent that is in Hampshire stays in Hampshire and they had somewhere they could play. So we had a very successful centre of excellence, became a regional talent centre, which is where a lot of our players came through. And now we've moved into having a professional game academy and the first team. So the pathway's in place. And we still sort of we're still working on ensuring it's the best that it can be. But knowing that the players in Hampshire have got somewhere, you know, there's lots of opportunities for them to play in different capacities. So we wanted to make sure that if there was a talented player and they wanted to be in our pathway, that the pathway was right, the facilities were right, the coaching was right. So, you know, it's a hotbed of talent in Hampshire, and there's some good clubs around here, and we're really proud to be part of that. I suppose that community, but we want to have the talent with us to push us forward as well.
Former Hibs manager Dean Gibson joined your ranks in January as Southampton's new head of recruitment for the first team and the under-21s. I mean, it's a pretty big move, unprecedented in the Championship to have a dedicated head of recruitment. You know, it's something that the WSL squads are sort of still playing catch up with. What was the thinking about sort of getting Dean on board?
Well, it's such a big part of the game now, isn't it, recruitment? And, you know, it's a job in itself. So we wanted to make sure that we had the best person we could find to come in and do that role, because you're not just looking at players, you're looking at personality, you're looking at character, you're looking at, you know, dealing with the agents, dealing with the clubs. And it's a lot in terms of, you know, a lot of clubs, the coach is doing all that as well. So if you've got your pillars of what you want to hang your hat on, and one of them is recruitment, and get good people in to help you with that, and then it becomes more focused for one person rather than part of a focus for the head coach.
I mean, how do you strike the balance, I suppose, between, like you said, sort of having that priority and, you know, getting homegrown talent in to make sure that, you know, local girls have access to, you know, playing at elite levels, but also, I suppose, where the game is going, you know, a lot of the big clubs are now looking at, you know, international and foreign markets. I mean, how do you balance both of those? Are you sort of looking at sort of more international players now that you have a dedicated person to sort of look further afield?
Yeah, obviously that's part of recruitment, and that's part of the game as it is today, is more and more international players are coming into the leagues in England. So but we're not just looking internationally, we're still looking at talented players that might have been here before and gone elsewhere because we didn't have the team in the Championship or the league, the WSL before. So having that, the balance will be key moving forward, because as you get higher up, then the chances of for younger players, for some it might not happen, but for others, again, if you know, the age isn't a barrier. If they're good enough, they train with you, and if they train well, and then they're in the squad, and then they could make their debuts at young ages. I'd never say they would never be able to do that here, because you're probably shutting down a lot of talent that you would then go elsewhere.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
in terms of sort of, you know, being able to access different types of talent, talent from different backgrounds, you know, making the talent pathways, I suppose, more diverse and inclusive and accessible to girls from, you know, across the spectrum. You know, is that something that's also a focus, I suppose, at Southampton? Because, you know, when you look in the WSL and Championship, there is still sort of, it does lack that diversity, I suppose, still.
Yeah, and I think that's why this partnership with Starling is going to be so important for us, because we're now, you know, Starling are now investing in scouts for the future. And those scouts are the demographics that you've just spoken about. So they'll be looking for talent in areas that may not have been looked at before, or haven't had the access to get into, because, you know, sometimes it's an access thing as well, isn't it? So having this new initiative with Starling, it's developing scouts to be in the areas that they live in or they work in, to be able to see the talent and then know what to do and where to point the talent into, hopefully in our direction.
So we're talking about sort of scouting and recruitment. They're such massive parts of the women's game. And I think sometimes those jobs have kind of fallen to managers and coaches in the past, to kind of, you know, not only are you in charge of the sort of performance of the girls, the, you know, the day in, day out, the structure, the programmes, but also, yeah, having to look at, you know, talent. And that, I suppose that part of the job takes up so much time. Is it, do you think there's sort of, or there has been a problem really with the women's game in terms of the responsibilities that head coaches have had to take on, sort of, you know, not only being responsible for the team, but all the other sort of different facets?
Yeah, I think if you look at the wingspan of an eagle, you're kind of looking at the scope of what a head coach's job role can be, isn't it? So, but I think what, again, it's as the game's grown and resource has grown, it's how you use that resource to the best of your, the resource that you've got in the clubs that you've got. So scouting and recruitment has always been something pretty much that the head coach has done. Now there's more, like there's a few more coming through, and the game growing the way it is and the resource coming in, there's more opportunity for those roles to become available. So again, you go back to the Starling Bank initiative, are we now creating the scouts for the future for when the roles become more accessible and more readily available? There's people ready to step into them.
And we had Crystal Palace's Annabelle Johnson in the studio yesterday, and she was sort of speaking about Emma Hayes's comments and sort of there was a lack of female coaches in the game, and that was becoming quite a big issue. And she was saying herself how hard she's found it to kind of get her own coaching badges, despite obviously playing at, you know, a very, very high level. Do you think there's more that needs to be done to kind of help new coaches get into the pathway and to access opportunities to get, you know, C, B and pro licences?
Yeah, I think we would. It's upsetting and it's frustrating that in 2024 we're still talking about barriers for women to get into coaching, even in women's football. You know, and I think it's something that has to be addressed. It has to be looked at. You know, coaches are finding it hard to get onto those courses. The question is why? Why are they? There's a finance. You know, they cost a lot of money. There's some initiatives that help support, and there's a cohort of coach developers working through the FA, and I think they're starting to hopefully now target more opportunities and more resource to be able to support, and not just financially but also support emotionally and technically and tactically in their own workplace. And I think that's happening more and more. I think it's just, you know, the qualifications are what the coaches want, because everything's got a criteria to say you must have this or you must have that. So, like I said, I think it's still frustrating that in 2024 female coaches are having these barriers. So there's work happening, but we need more to happen to give them the opportunity. And then, we were having this conversation earlier today as well about, you know, we put the players front and centre of everything that you do as a coach, and, you know, their welfare, but the coaches that are trying to get into the game, the coaches that are in the game, the coaches that might lose their jobs in the game, which, you know, we've seen recently happen. What's the support for them? Because they still have an emotional, you know, they still need emotional support, and their welfare is really important as well. So it's gaining your badges and gaining the qualifications, but alongside that, investing in the support network that helps them once they're in the role and once they might lose the job, because that could become more apparent as the game grows as well.
Do you think the role of manager and coach at sort of WSL and Championship level has become more pressurised because of that kind of expectation to get results, to, you know, progress the team, to get higher up the table, to get promotion? And, you know, you sort of touched on a little bit there about Mel Phillips and her experiences. And, you know, it was sort of quite a shock, I think, to a lot of us that had happened. And I suppose in any other sort of sphere or employment sphere, you'd be thinking, okay, well, if someone's sort of not, you know, where you expected them to be, you kind of support them, you develop them, you ask them if they're okay, if there are other things going on, or, you know, how can we better, you know, let you be in a position to do better with your job. But is that the sort of pressure that I suppose managers now feel, that, you know, if you don't reach a certain level or if you're not hitting a certain target, that at any moment, I suppose you could go?
Yeah. I think it would certainly be in the backs of the minds of coaches now and head coaches in the top leagues, purely because the expectation and the resource and the support and the investment that's going in, we're now looking more for results. So it's something that hasn't been apparent before, but now that the game's growing and everything about, you know, on the pitch, off the pitch, is becoming more in the public eye and in the eyes of the owners and the eyes of the investors, that, you know, they will ask questions. So coaches must be, coaches will be aware of that, whether they're outwardly pressured by it or inwardly pressured by it. I think it's important that there's a support in place for if and when that happens.
And in terms of sort of your experience as a player, I mean, how do you kind of use that in terms of, you know, how does that translate, I suppose, into the work that you do with the girls now? I mean, is there ever a point that you sort of, you know, tell them anecdotes of, you know, how things used to be and how lucky they've got it now with all these, you know, the lovely facilities and the, you know, the kit person? I mean, I would have absolutely loved a kit person at Spurs. I mean, do you sort of tell them about, you know, the history of the game so that they can kind of, you know, maintain, I suppose, the humbleness that they are still, you know, that the work they're doing now, I suppose, is off the back of, you know, the likes of yourself having grown the game, created that exposure and got it to where it is now?
Yeah, it's not something I use a lot, but occasionally you bring it in to hopefully have an impact. And like you said, it's about respecting where the game was, enjoying where it is, but being passionate about where it can go to. And I think that's the key for me, is not just settling on where we are, because we've got here from this point, and there's still this point that we want to get to.
And on the subject of sort of the younger players now coming through the ranks, I mean, Mary Earps was someone you worked very closely with from the start in the England setup, and you sort of named her as your next generation squad back in 2006. What a catch that was. I mean, are you surprised at all by what she's gone on to achieve? Or, you know, like you said, did you peg her to sort of do great things, you know, from very early on?
Yeah, she was, you know, she was a good keeper back in the day. Obviously, we picked her for the next gen squad. She's always had that potential to go out and do what she's achieved. And I think, you know, she's well documented. There's times where she's felt quite down about football and had support around her. And I think, again, we'll go back to that support. With that support, she's now flourished again. So I'm really proud of what she's achieved and, you know, where she is at the moment. And I look forward to seeing her on Sunday and saying hello to her. Likewise, when we played Arsenal and caught up with a few of the old Arsenal girls as well. So, you know, and that's the thing that's important, is that, you know, it's the pride that you've got to have worked with those players to see where they are now is really important. But it's also the pride I've got of working with the group of players that I've got now, and I'm really excited to see where they can go.
Southampton's journey, I mean, it's been incredible sort of watching the rise of the club from where it's been in, you know, only a very short space of time to, you know, where it is now, you know, pushing to, you know, have those ambitions to be in the WSL at some point, you know, very close in the future. You know, what are your big ambitions and what's next for Southampton? What should we be looking out for in the next year or so?
I think just the continual growth of what we're doing, the continued, you know, like I said, we're aspiring to be in the highest league we can be in. We're aspiring to be part of the change in the game and wanting to be front and centre of, you know, this new co and being around it and understanding what the direction is that we're going, that the game's going in. So I think for me, it's just staying really true to what we want to do, and that is being in the top league, doing it in the way that we want to do it, bringing through some homegrown talent, but aware that you need other talent as well to come in. And just making our club and our community proud, because, you know, football clubs are a hub of the community. We've got a fantastic support network, like supporter base here. You know, the clubs, you know, the men's team, we're in a fantastic run at the moment. And, you know, that just brings everybody up around you in and around the community. So we still want to have that aspiration of being a humble club, especially, you know, the women's team as well, that is driving a community to be proud of what we're achieving.
And absolutely last question. I appreciate you've got a lot on your hands with the game this weekend. What can people listening expect from Southampton this weekend? What's the kind of the key things to watch?
Players playing with a smile on their face and enjoying their football with an opportunity to compete against the top club in the WSL.
Love that. Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. Despite Man United kind of being my team, I absolutely wish you the best. And yeah, go and smash it.
Thank you very much, Chloe.
Thank you so much for listening. Rachel and I are back on Tuesday to react to the FA Cup, including Man United's trip to Southampton, as well as the latest Lionesses squad, which we're expecting to drop any minute now. In the meantime, you can find us on Instagram and X. I am at Morgie_89. Rach is at Girls on the Ball, and we are at @Upfront_Pod. You can also find us on YouTube at @UpfrontPod. See you next week.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.